The Good Neighbor Network. FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro. FM 100.5 Smyrna. And online at WGNSradio.com. This is a WGNS Action Line, talking with Rutherford County newsmakers about what matters most to you. Now, your host, Bart Walker.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome in. We have two programs for you today. In our first segment, we have Jim Sandman with us, and he is a local author. He's going to be over at Line Ball Library pretty soon to talk about his new book. Jim, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart. Thank you for inviting me.
Good to have you with us. Tell me, how did you get involved in writing? Is it something you've always wanted to do, or what brought it on?
In 2019, it came along out of the blue, really. I was inspired by various teaching about marriage and about the glories of heaven, and I decided to start writing down some thoughts that I had, and I thought, get this down on paper somehow, and I'd never thought about publishing a book before, so it was a new thing for me, and it was very exciting.
So the name of your book is Heaven is Like Eternal Sex and Other Things That You Really Desire. Interesting title. That gets everybody says get their attention somehow. I think you did it.
Yes, sir. I did think about the title a lot, and it was quite a surprise to my wife when I told her on the day that it was published what the title was.
Well, she didn't know until it came out.
Yes.
So, well, tell us a little more about the motivating factor of that that title alone.
Yes. In the Bible, we learn that that marriage between a man and a woman here in the Bible is a perfect example of the relationship between Christ and his church, the bride. All believers are part of his bride. From the Old Testament, which begins, the Bible begins with marriage and ends with a marriage feast in the book of Revelation. And all throughout the Bible, we learn how God wants to know us intimately, and he wants us to know him intimately. And that's what marriage is for, and that's how we come to know him in an intimate way, through faith.
I think we can probably get to know more about the book and what its message is by getting to know a little more about your background. What did you do before you became an accomplished writer?
I'm retired from the Navy Submarine Service.
The two correlate very well.
Somewhat. Right. 20 years in the Navy, mainly out of Norfolk, Virginia, and three boats out of Norfolk and one submarine out of Pearl Harbor. And I retired in 1997. That's when my wife and I moved here to Rutherford County. And I had roots here. My grandpa was born in Murfreesboro. His dad at the time was First Baptist Church pastor from 1895 to 1899. Another reason we moved here was just being near Nashville, Music City. I'm a musician, so I enjoy music. And it's also halfway between my folks that were in Virginia and my wife's folks in Wisconsin. So it's kind of a halfway point. So that's how we settled here. But after moving here, I finished college at Middle Tennessee State University and got a degree in computer information systems. So I've been in IT since 2001. I worked at Lifeway for a while in their IT department up in Nashville. And then I also did some time with Amazon here in about 8 years with Amazon.
So you learned a lot about how books are written and the mechanics of it and everything of that sort.
Well, that was as I went, I learned. Amazon.
On the job training.
Yeah, that's right. Amazon has a self-publishing arm called Kindle Direct Publishing. And so.
Is that the way most of the books are nowadays, electronically for non-page or
yes.
non-print?
Non-traditional publisher, right. There's so many opportunities for self-publishing these days, and it has its advantages and its disadvantages, but it's been a good route for me, a learning experience.
So as you started putting the pages together, did it flow all the time, or did it sometimes come in spurts, or what motivated you? And if you came to a dry spot, how did you move forward?
It did come and go, and there's 18 chapters and 18 short little daily devotional readings, and they cover various aspects that that we have as human desires. I've brought you a copy there.
Let me look at
you're welcome to keep that one.
Thank you.
If you look at the contents page, I cover not only in chapter one about how heaven is like eternal sex, but also about true love and friendship, joy, peace and rest, and our ultimate hope, and forgiveness and freedom. And some of my other favorite thoughts here came from how heaven will be like paradise beyond nature. I quote a lot of C.S. Lewis in here. And
he's very good.
Yes, one of my favorite authors, as well as other authors like Randy Alcorn, who wrote a book called Heaven. And then I also quote Charles Schulz in one chapter about love. And I've got one of his Peanuts strips in here that talks about love. And then how heaven will be like feasting on the best meals, filled with the best music. Heaven will be like having superpowers. These are some of the chapter titles.
What are you hoping to accomplish? What message are you hoping that the public will get from your book as they read it?
I'm praying that God will use these words to encourage people to know that in having a relationship with God, we will have all of our human desires that we long for friendship, for love, intimacy, for peace and hope throughout the world, and even for great adventures and for music and beautiful scenes and things. All of those things will be ultimately fulfilled in heaven by faith in Jesus Christ.
I was reading some of the information you had sent in a press release about your book, which is very interesting. It talks about heaven and things of that sort. And you allude to something that I've sort of felt all along, and that is when we tell people what heaven looks like, nobody's really been there and come back. I guess the closest is near-death experiences, but you don't know about that, really. I mean, so tell us what you found when you started talking and researching what heaven was like.
I had read a couple of other books about near-death experiences, and some of them are quite amazing. I've got a couple of friends who had near-death experiences as well. They don't live here in Tennessee, but they've described for me what they saw and heard and felt. And
when it similar?
Yes, there's some similarities about a transcendent feeling of peace and love, being surrounded by love. The Bible teaches that God is love, and so when in heaven, we will be in the presence of love himself. And there's also stories about Ian McCormick. There's a movie about him who was a surfer, and he got stung by a very fatal, almost fatal sting in the ocean. And he had a near-death experience that I talk about, I think it's in chapter two, where he had this just an amazing sense of being in the presence of love itself. And, you know, we all long for that love from someone. And when we are in heaven, we will be in the presence of the very source of love.
I think if we think about our life's experience, we can look back, and if you really think about this, you probably can remember a time when you thought, was that a guardian angel that just came along? And that's sort of what, that's a lot of what you're talking about. Tell us about some of those thoughts.
True. I was just reading recently about how we will never know completely how we were delivered from some sort of tragic event by guardian angels. They are very real. Billy Graham wrote about him as in his book way back, but that is a very true part of the unseen world that we have around us. Angels watching over me, as Amy Grant sang. And so it's not just a song and not just wishful thinking. It's something that is biblical.
So not knowing exactly what a guardian angel is, not knowing exactly what heaven is like, maybe we are not supposed to know what it's exactly like until we get there. Or I may still not even know what it's like then.
We will be definitely surprised by what we see and hear and feel. But we do get glimpses of beauty here on earth. We get glimpses of love from one another here. We get glimpses of beautiful music here on earth. And when you look up into the sky, you're looking into eternity. You are looking at forever. So these are little inklings of what we will experience. One of my chapters is about adventure. If you love new things and new learning experiences, we're going to have that forever in heaven as well.
Where can people get this book?
It's on Amazon. You can search for its title, Heaven is Like Eternal Sex, or my name, Jim Sandman. Or you can go to my website, which is just jimsandman.com. And there will be a place there where you can order it either from Amazon, or you can order it from me directly. And I'll sign it if you'd like it to be signed, though that doesn't add any value to it.
Now, you mentioned you had been with the Navy. Your career was in the Navy, and specifically in submarines, which is a lonely place sometimes. Did that help you think through this as you were in the subs way down and not a lot going on around you? Did you have some thoughts that are found in this book?
True. Yes. Chapter 12, I talk about my experiences more so in the Navy, and some of my travels and adventures I talk about in another chapter. But the vastness of the oceans is what really spoke to me. When you're in a submarine, which is about 50 feet tall, and you're in a ocean, which is 2, 3, 4, 5 miles deep, you can get a picture of how small you seem in this huge ocean. And just, I began to feel that, you know, safety doesn't lie in the absence of danger, which is definitely there if you're 400 feet under the ocean. Safety is not in the absence of danger, but it's in the presence of God, wherever you are. And you just trust in God's presence that you're safe.
And what are some of the feelings happens. You had while you were underwater? Did you ever feel, I have a need for a guardian angel. I hope one is with me right now. Were there ever moments of fear and uncertainty?
Yes. The closest we came to actual having to fire live missiles was Desert Storm in USS Newport News in 1991, January. And being a fire control technician, it would have been my job to push the button when the captain says shoot, but did not fortunately have to do that. We were waiting for tasking for missile shots, but for about 30 days at periscope depth off the coast of Lebanon in the Mediterranean. And that was the closest we had come to that. Many times throughout also the career, just a matter of the dangers that could happen from a fire that occurs on board or flooding. We drilled for that all very often, very frequently. So we knew what to do, and everybody had a part. So you had to learn to trust your shipmates, and that's where the camaraderie helps come in, and we still experience that today.
We're talking with Jim Sandman this morning, a local author, in his new book, Heaven is Like Eternal Sex, which obviously does get your attention, and it has 18 daily Bible readings in it, or 18 daily readings, so it's designed for you to use as a sort of a daily reading source.
Yes, and one of the main thoughts in there that I cherish is from Psalms, and it says, "In thy presence is joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." And we have to ask ourselves, do we believe that, you know, that in God's presence is joy, and at thy right hand are pleasures forevermore? Another thing that struck me was from Hosea chapter 2, verse 20, where God himself tells the people of Israel, "I will betroth you to me in faithfulness." And betroth is the fancy word for, "I will take you as my wife. I will take you as my bride in faithfulness, and you will know the Lord." You will know the Lord. Hosea 2:20. So there is that relationship that we have through faith. And this intimacy that I talk about in chapter 1 of the book is that intimacy that we can have with God. And marriage is a picture of that here on earth.
Today's world, I think we all agree, is different from what it was 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, or our grandparents' mm-hmm. years ago. Mm-hmm. Is it really that different? Or if we were back in those times, would we have been saying the same things we're saying now? And how does that relate to your book?
That's a great question, Bart, and I think that these are age-old human desires that we've had since the beginning, ever since the fall of man in the garden. We've had these longings for a relationship with our Creator. We've had these weaknesses that we have to deal with every day, these desires for something more, something better, something not here. And yet, in my last final chapter also about home, heaven is home. We have this dual desire for both home and for being somewhere else, do we not? Humans have this desire to be finally home and to be somewhere else that's better, in a sense. And so I talk about that in the last chapter. But I look forward to anyone who wants to stop by at the library on March 16th, Saturday, from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Lineball Library. Feel free to come on by. And I'd like to offer a WGNS $2 discount for,
okay.
for your listeners if they stop by on March 16th.
That's not this Saturday, but the one afterwards.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
And the time again?
10 a.m. till 2 p.m.
Okay, 10 until 2. Mm-hmm. By the way, if you're listening to this and you're thinking, did he just say what I thought he said? The beauty of this show is you can go back and listen again on podcast format. It's on our website, WGNSradio.com. Or if you prefer other podcast sites, it's on every podcast site in the world. Which sounds pretty big, but I think a lot of things are there too.
Yes.
So you can find it under all of them, under the WGNS Action Line, the name of the show.
Yes, and that's come a long way since you started in radio, didn't it?
It's a whole different world. There have been times that when in the old days when I heard a show, I wanted to go back and hear it again. And so now you can do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So check it out.
And this book, I wanted to point out, is great for high school seniors all the way through to vintage seniors. I've had folks from both age groups and everything in between with reviews and comments that they were encouraged by the book. So I hope it's an encouraging message to everyone.
We have about a minute and a half left in our broadcast, and there are probably some folks who are thinking, you mentioned earlier about your, was it your grandfather who was the pastor of First Baptist?
Great-grandfather.
Great-grandfather, mm-hmm. Okay.
Isham Haley was here 1895 to 1899.
Nobody remembers that date unless you're really seasoned. Okay.
But while he was here, my grandfather was born, and so that's on my mom's side of the family. Then on my father's side of the family, the other route that I have is he was in the Union Army and fought at the Battle of Stones River here in the Civil War. He was my second great-grandfather, Dietrich Sandman.
So some real local connections.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, not this Saturday, but the one after this at the Lineball Library, the one that's downtown. The hours again that you'll be there?
10 a.m. till 2 p.m., March 16th.
Okay, so circle that on your calendar. make it a point to go up there and say, I want to meet Jim in person and want to get an autographed version of your book, Heaven is Like Eternal Sex. Can you purchase it at one of the bookstores here in town?
No.
You
can check it out from the Linebaugh Library.
Oh, cool.
Well, I wanted to mention that as well. Otherwise, no, just go to my website, jimsandman.com.
Jim, thank you for taking time to join us today.
Thank you.
Jim Sandman, our guest, local author, Heaven is Like Eternal Sex. And he'll be at the Linebaugh Public Library for Meet the Author Day, not this Saturday, but the one after that, 10 until 1. 10 until 2, okay. Don't want to cheat him from any time there. Stay with us. We will continue our broadcast in just a moment.
Listen each weekday morning at 9 o'clock for the Roundtable here on News Radio WGNS. Interesting hosts and guests with the news, views, and people that are shaping Rutherford County.
It's a critical time in education, and we need experience on the Rutherford County School Board. That's why we need to elect Butch Vaughn to the school board in Zone 6. He brings experience as a public educator from his years in the classroom and as a coach to being principal at Central and Blackman Middle and Oakland High Schools. Butch Vaughn has also been in private education as the former headmaster at PCA. Experience counts, especially now. That's why we need Butch Vaughn on the Rutherford County School Board. Paid for by Butch Vaughn for School Board. Prior Manning, Treasurer.
Market declines, unemployment, oil prices. Don't let headlines derail your long-term financial strategy. I'm Edward Jones Financial Advisor Lee Colvin. I'll work with you to help you understand the impact of short-term events and how to be positioned for the long term. We provide the tools for a disciplined approach to investing. Call 615-907-7056 for an opportunity to discuss your situation. Edward Jones, Making Sense of Investing, member SIPC.
Adams Place has been a wonderful place. I'm Greg Shannon. Our grandkids live in Bradyville, so we wanted to get closer.
Greg, what do you like most about Adams Place?
Well, the people are amazing, both the staff and, of course, the residents. Like everybody we've met so far, it's just unbelievably nice. Just trying to make us feel welcome, you know?
I'm Terry Deal. Call me about Adams Place. Phone 615-904-9111. Memorial Boulevard, across from Walmart.
Hi, this is Peter Demas with Demas's Restaurants. One of the places I love to eat out the most and still be able to do so and maintain a healthy weight is at Demas's. You can get those options on the menu online at www.demasrestaurants.com. You can make the decisions that you want to make before you come in. We have options ranging from grilled chicken to fish. You can get it with a side of green beans or spinach or even zucchini. Please have your family join our family for lunch or dinner at Demas's.
Hi, this is Dan Mitchell from Music World and Drummer's Den. We have a larger selection than any of the other big box stores. Much better prices. Selection is wonderful, from keyboards, drums, guitars. Ukuleles are big this year. We also have lighting. This is Dan Mitchell from Music World and Drummer's Den. Come down and look around. We have what you need. Music World and Drummer's Den is located at 2762 South Church Street, right across from Indian Hills Golf Course.
Good morning. It remains pretty crowded over here coming through Donaldson and Hermitage right now on 40 westbound, especially coming past B&A Airport. You got all that traffic coming in from Wilson County. Traffic still a little bit busy there on Vietnam Vets westbound, approaching Conference Drive through Hendersonville, through that section of Sumner County. It's been quiet so far in from Dixon County. Just watch your radar out there in Dixon County, I-40 at 840. 24/7 reliable crane and rigging services right here in Middle Tennessee. It's Tomahawk Crane and Rigging. Check them out at TomahawkCrane.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Good Neighbor Talk covers issues you won't hear anywhere else. They're local issues. WGNS, AM, FM, online.
Welcome back. Did you realize this is Women's History Month? That's right. All of this month, and we're early in the month, so we're going to talk a lot about the women who do so much for the community. And I think right off the bat, the first thing you think about is the Woman's Club of Murfreesboro. They were doing activities that supported women back when it was not the end thing to do. You just did it out of love and in motivation and everything of that sort. Denise Carlton is with us, along with Diane Summer. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good to have you both with us. Now, Diane is the historian.
Yes.
Tell us a little about, and pull that mic straight up and down, aim it right toward you there. Diane is the historian, and this facility is full of history. I mean, from the very first day that the Woman's Club took it over. When was that first day?
The first day was in 1916. We actually had our first meeting in the clubhouse as the Woman's Club of Murfreesboro on January the 3rd, 1917.
Oh, man. What were the topics? I know you have those. What was the big news going on in 1917?
It's not what you would expect, because you have to think back about what was going on in history back then, because women still didn't have the right to vote, and they still most of the time didn't own property in their names, and the Woman's Club is not owned in any woman's name. It's a corporation. And that tells me that these ladies either had some really smart, willing husbands that helped them, or people in their family that helped them incorporate this business, this house, to buy it. But you also had a widow in Florida who was believed in the women of Murfreesboro and was willing to sell this house at a cost of $6,125.
Wonder what a house would be worth back then. I mean, was that a tremendous deal? I mean, to me, it sounds like they gave it to you, but I know that was a lot of money back then.
It was a lot of money back then, and the ladies raised money in blocks of $100 to join, and they raised $500. They had promissory notes back to Mrs. J.M. Haynes, and by the way, she passed away during the time, so it became the estate. But they had promissory notes that lasted over 10 years. But the women that bought the Woman's Club, that actually did the financing and the restorations and whatever in those early days, the house was paid off and debt-free in 5 years.
Wow. The beauty of all of this, we're talking about Women's History Month. These women were so dedicated that they went on the line and said, we're buying it, we're doing it together, there's strength in numbers. And they had causes that they wanted to see answered, and they continue to do that even to this day. What were some of the big causes back in 1917 that the Woman's Club of Murfreesboro looked at and said, we need to accomplish that?
Well, before I tell you that, one of my favorite stories about the Woman's Club is how the purchase was made. The ladies who were doctors' wives, husbands owned drug stores, lawyers, wives of lawyers. It was the movers and shakers in Rutherford County. But their families were not very supportive of the purchase of this house. And the family said, we don't think you can do this. Just don't think you can do it. Well, you know what happens when you tell a group of strong-willed women that they can't do something.
They're going to show you different.
They did. And they purchased it and did all of the negotiations and everything themselves. And like I said, the house was, the organization was incorporated as a corporation back in 1916.
Wow.
And the house was purchased in the name of the corporation, not under any woman's name. Some of the basic causes were civic, community, health, and some of the women that weave into the tapestry of the Woman's Club. Of course, literacy is our big, always has been. We started as a small group of 12 women in 1887, reading a book.
Reading a book.
A book called Ramona. And it was about migrant workers in California. And the women decided that they wanted to meet and have a, where they read books.
So it was a book club, basically, starting.
Started from a book club. 1887. Then the women whose husbands owned drugstores and a little bookstore and this and that would allow these women to bring the books that they collected and put them on the shelves, sometimes on the back shelves in the back room, but that's needless to say, they got them there. And we became the first lending library in Rutherford County.
Yeah, I bet you were one of the first libraries around. Of course, you're looking at a time when a lot of cities didn't have anything like a library, and you grew into Murfreesboro's basically the first library.
Yes. We all, you know, lawyers always had libraries. Churches always had libraries. But organizations did not. We were the first lending library.
Encouraged people to come by.
We encouraged. You could pay 50 cents a year to belong to the Murfreesboro Library Association. And you could rent books, borrow books from us, magazines, all sorts of published articles and whatever. But We go back that far.
Now, was this at your West College Street location?
No. That didn't happen till 1916.
Or 16, yeah, okay.
Yeah, 16.
Long time later.
Long time, yeah. Yeah. But they moved, as my grandmother would say, from pillar to post. They moved from one set of rooms to another, and there were a group of ladies. There were three groups that were looking for a place where they could assemble, bring their things together, and not have to move all the dishes and the chairs and the tables and whatever that go with having a meeting. And they found that. But it was not large enough. And one of the organizations had 150 members at that time.
One of the women's club groups?
Uh-huh. That joined with us, yes.
Okay, so you were bringing in groups.
We were.
Wow. So you had to have a bigger home.
It was necessary, yes.
And that's ultimately what moved into West College Street.
East College.
East College. Excuse me. Okay.
we found... One of our ladies was a very financially savvy lady, Mrs. Vickers, and her husband owned a drugstore, and she knew how to finance things and talk in financial terms, and she located vacant lots that we could build on, and then she found this house that was just sitting there. It was declining because the family had moved to Florida, and it was the J.M. Haynes property. Mr. Haynes had died, and his wife had moved to Florida. And she contacted Mrs. Haynes, and they worked a deal. They did.
That's great. Now, when you moved into that house, you said that's the end of 1916, that you signed the deal.
Yes.
First meeting, January 3rd, 1917.
Correct.
Denise Carlton's background is a lot of the structure of the building, the history of that structure. What did they find there? I mean, the spooky stories we hear about downtown Murfreesboro had to be around still back in those early days.
We don't have any spooky stories. I'm sorry. Basically, what I find interesting from Diane, and I always pull something different from every time she tells this story or tells some part of it, I pick up another piece that I know that whatever. But, you know, the roving bookstore, basically, that was 30 years. You talk about persistence? That's persistent. 30 years they did a roving bookstore, and then they convinced Miss Haynes to sell them this house to be. And part of the document that we looked up earlier this year was the document in for the sale included that we establish the Murfreesboro Library Association and house a library in that building as part of the purchase. So that is technically how it became the first lending library, even though for 30 years they'd been doing that in a casual way, from a book club to reaching out to the population, and they really wanted people to learn to read. That helped everyone succeed. And you're talking post-Civil War history, you know, in the Reconstruction area from 1887. And then 1916, 1917, we were following World War I. So, you know, this all the social problems that we were having, we'd had cholera epidemics, we'd had Spanish flu, we'd had all of these things happening. So these were women that were concerned about the totality of the history. So the history of the building itself is significant to Murfreesboro, and it weaves into everything of Rutherford County history. So in 1856, Dr. Basquiat married Martha Critchlow, correct, Diane?
No, not Martha.
What was her name, first name?
Helen.
Helen Critchlow, I'm sorry. And he built this house for her. It was his third marriage. And he started as a doctor out in Midland and married. And then married, moved to town after, you know, he had a couple wives that passed away. And then he married Miss Critchlow, and they built that house. So they started that right and got moved into it right before the Civil War. So he was a Confederate soldier that was a doctor, and he actually went out and fought in the battles elsewhere. So his wife lived there for a while. A Union officer took over the house during the Civil War when we were occupied, and then the family came back to the house afterwards. He died shortly afterwards, and it has sold several. It sold several times, and we're the fourth or the fifth owner, Diane.
Fifth owner.
The Women's Club of Murfreesboro is the fifth owner of that house. The real cool thing is that most of the architecture that you find in an 1856 house, it gets changed over the years and all that kind of stuff. And since we owned it so far back, we still have our doors, our windows, our original ornate I lost my word. But anyway, all the detailing inside the house. I mean, it's just, you know, ornate and parts of it. And then in 1922, the Women's Club added on to the house. Mr. Haynes had added on. So we started out in 1856 as one of the first Italianate brick homes downtown. And the same builder, Mr. Sanders, that they believe built the house. They know built that house. They also believe built the whole front facade and add-on part for Oakland's to make it an Italianate house. So,
we have a listener here who wants to ask a question. You're on WGNS. Good morning. Hello there. Not sure what happened there. Okay, well, we missed that one. Try again if you want. Now, if we go back, you mentioned about the Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
This was it damaged any during the Civil War?
Well, yes, and you know, and you probably have had a picture made with it. But we found when we re-roofed the house this most recent time that there was, during probably the Battle of Murfreesboro when Forrester's raid was happening, they lobbed a cannon, and a cannon shell was sitting in our fireplace in the parlor.
In the fireplace.
It just lobbed in there and kind of just rested. Didn't explode, and so, you know.
But it was there for a long time.
Yes, that whole time with all the heat through the fireplace and all the changes and stuff. So we're talking 1862 or 3 or something like that, all the way until what was the, like, 2009, 10, somewhere when we re-roofed it.
Somebody listening was in there when that was happening. A lot of you were in there. In fact, it was Shirley Ferris Jones, wasn't it, who took Mary Lou Turpin
and Marilyn Patterson were the house chairs at that time.
Okay.
I'm the current house chair and the house preservation chair. So we all have our roles to play, and they change constantly, you know, who plays those roles. But they were over the re-roofing of the house. That was their task to take, that they took on. They're the ones, and I believe it was Mary Lou Turpin that had it in the trunk of her car, riding around waiting to go see Brian Real, who, you know, would do that, and found out that it was still live.
Oh, my goodness.
And so he said, you can't ride around with this. And so they got it deactivated, and it sits in our library now.
Oh, it's in the library. Deactivated.
Yes, thank goodness.
How big is it?
It's about 12 inches tall.
Okay.
About so 6 inches round, 12 inches tall.
For people who would like to see this beautiful old home, are there opportunities?
We have guests invited to our dinners and lunches that we do. We have Monday programs, and, you know, we have a website and Facebook so people can coordinate with us. They can go through our membership chair to see how to, you know, come and visit, do things like that. We occasionally have some open houses. We will have our legacy gathering at the house, so it's open to the public.
When is that?
It's July 27th, and that is our fundraiser for every other year we do to raise for preservation of the building and the house. And we have quite a few little tasks to take on and still taking on. And of course, it's about a 6,000 square foot house, so you can imagine the upkeep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that is part of our mission, is the upkeep of that historic building as well as the public library.
The legacy gathering,
mm-hmm.
July 27th. Tell you what let's do. Let's pause for just a moment. We'll be back and continue the conversation. We'll remind you again about the legacy gathering, so if you need to write that down, have a pencil and a piece of paper handy. You need that when we come back.
All That's News, your afternoon local news, traffic, and weather update with Matt Lane. Weekday afternoons, 4:40 until all sports talk on News Radio WGNS.
There's so many things that you can do at Adams Place. My name is Carrie Shannon. I probably spend more time in the library or reading a book and that kind of thing. And I've never seen anything as good as Adams Place. And you feel like you're in a beautiful hotel and a very nice library. It's just a really beautiful place.
I'm Terry Deal. Call me about Adams Place. Phone 615-904-9111. Memorial Boulevard, across from Walmart.
If you're looking for an authentic relationship with financial experts who genuinely care about your unique needs, Capstar Bank is for you. Capstar Bank is dedicated to the people of this community. Capstar Bank wants to help you reach your financial goals, because at Capstar Bank, you matter to us. Capstar Bank, 2230 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, capstarbank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
We'll see a few spotty rain showers at times this afternoon. A blend of clouds and sunshine develops, a high in the mid-70s. Tonight, slight chance for showers and storms late, a low near 59. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Currently, it's 57.
Hi, this is Gator with Tire World Off-Road. We're your local rough country dealer. So when you're ready to add some character to your rig, ask for Gator at Tire World Off-Road on Memorial Boulevard.
This is Sean Brown at Tire World on Broad Street. Online at tireworld.us.
Overnight, Good Neighbor Talk turns to UFOs, aliens, the unknown. It's Coast to Coast AM overnight every night on WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Welcome back. This is Women's History Month, whatever you'd like to call it. But we're honoring the women in our community, especially the unique group at the Women's Club of Murfreesboro. And that is on East College Street. Beautiful facility. Their first meeting was right there in the facility on January the 3rd, 1917. A long time ago. Denise Carlton and Diane Summer are our guests this morning, and we're learning about the Women's Club. And Denise, tell us a little more about some of the things that it takes a lot of upkeep to make a home that's this age, make it continue without problems.
Yeah, always. And a building that's over 100 and something years old, it does. I mean, you know, just like people, things start to sag. So, you know, Well,
I can relate.
And so
to
now
that.
we're kind of, you know, propping things up again. I mean, okay. It's more than just the wallpaper, and it's more than just the paint. I mean, you know, sometimes you'd have to go back in and look. We have just completed our first ever structural assessment of the house. My charge 2 years ago was to put together a historic preservation plan. And part of that first stage is the assessment. And so we've assessed every room, the needs throughout the whole building, and trying to put that together in a long-range plan, you know, 10, 20 year, and build it in with the maintenance plan. So hopefully, I've just about completed the assessment part. A structural engineer and the engineering part took a big focus of that because that's where you start. But, you know, we've been doing other projects. We just revamped our assembly room. And working on some, you know, some space upstairs, that type thing. And those are like, it's just like, it just gets old looking and it gets cracked a little bit because it settles, houses settle. And so we're working on, you know, trying to come up with the best way, you know, and as we raise funds, we've been raising funds since 2018, you know, starting with the re-roofing of the house. That's a big expense for a 6,000 square foot house. Everything's just a big expense for a 6,000 square foot house. We've always done it prior to 2018 with just members' money. And so we've started public fundraising, you know, with groups and people that support us because we're an integral part of the look and the facade of downtown Rutherford County. We're two blocks off of the historic courthouse square. We're one of the remaining, few remaining pre-Civil War houses, just like this courthouse is a pre-Civil War building. We're part of that early Rutherford County. And we're trying to preserve the outside look to enhance the beauty of Rutherford County and Murfreesboro, just like we want to enhance the inside look for our activities and for the, you know, enjoyment of our club and the community.
Now, if somebody's listening and they want to help preserve mm-hmm. history, they love the community, how could they make a donation?
They can visit our website. Our address is on there, 221 East College Street. They can mail a check to the Women's Club. It is 501c3. We are, part of our mission is to preserve that building, so it's all tax deductible for that. If they want to attend the club and see it for themselves and see what's worth preserving, then they can come to our legacy gathering in July 27th. It'll be an evening. It's usually a cocktail type party. And then they can leave a check there. They can donate anytime through the year. They can, you know, always call someone through our club at the Women's Club. The web phone number is 615-893-5822. So we're there. We've been there. And we've just now included the community in helping us preserve this building and deal. We're working on the outside ulterior facade. And so not too long ago, we got a bunch of hits on Facebook because we took the frieze down above the original Italianate windows. And that's in a shop with Jeff Boulay, who's doing the restoration of it. It'll go back up. He's working on the soffit work this spring and summer until he's finished all the way around the house, which is all original 1856 work, woodwork. So we encourage the public to help us help, you know, keep our community looking really beautiful.
We have about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left in the program. Diane, tell us a little more about some of the activities coming up that relate to the Women's Club and how you're helping to preserve the history there.
Murfreesboro women have always been involved in the community of Murfreesboro. We consider ourselves an integral part of the Murfreesboro community. So our programs are designed around literacy, civic involvement, public events, anything to do with Murfreesboro. And we have, the DAR is coming for a tour later this month, I think on the 23rd. A dinner event, which is coming up at the end of April, which is going to spotlight the
Craddock Society.
Craddock Society, which was an offshoot of the Woman's Club. So we've always been involved from the very beginning. The women of Murfreesboro have been involved in the tapestry of this town, woven into it quite successfully, and we don't give up.
And that's why we have guests from the Women's Club of Murfreesboro, the Women's Club of Murfreesboro, as our guest this morning on this bringing in of the new month and Women's History Month. In our mind, you are Women's History Month. And we want to say thank you to all that you're doing to preserve the history of our community. Before we leave, we want to remind you again, Denise, tell us about Legacy Gathering.
So the Legacy Gathering was an offshoot of our capital campaign that we started in 2018, and it's become our every other year preservation fundraiser. And we started at some restaurants on the beginning, and so now we house it at the house so people can come and see what progress we're making, that type thing. Sometimes, you know, because there's internal and external, and they can't see everything from the street. So this is a great way to come in and just see the beauty of the building. I mean, it's very rare to go into a house that's not a museum that has all the original detailing that this house has.
So that's July the 27th, and we want to say a special thank you to Denise Carlton and Diane Summer, visiting with us today from the Murfreesboro Women's Club on this Women's History Month. Thank you for joining us. Have a super rest of the day.